Hello and welcome to another short update. I didn't do one yesterday. I can't always do one. I'd like to, but can't always. Right, quite a range of things, all on the same topic, I'm afraid. But it is the word of the moment, and I don't think we need to apologise for making it a big point. Right, so first of all, had a couple of members from Ecuador, that's CC members, Connecting Conscious members, say that while they were out on the street, they actually saw was two separate cases where somebody keeled over. Had interesting listening to one of Kerry Cassidy's most recent podcasts, and she was talking about Chile. And she was reporting that she'd had some intel that people in Chile were also keeling over, dying basically on the street. And what the Connecting Consciousness member in Ecuador was able to say was basically, because the healthcare isn't anything like an industrialized Western society, people are not getting the medical care, and therefore they're just dropping dead. And we did see that in China, and China's quite the opposite. China's a very high tech, very good healthcare service, but the point there was that their hospital system was completely swamped, totally. I personally, and I know many of you, don't buy the figures that came out of China. We know from other research that upwards of 5, 6, 7, 8 million phone contracts just seem to have gone dead in China. And I can't believe that that number of people decided they didn't want a cell phone, a mobile phone any longer. So there's an implication here that a staggering number of people have died of this virus. Now, we're not seeing that in the United Kingdom or United States or any of the European countries, where a country is highly technically advanced. You've got good cell phones, you've got good landlines, you can get on the phone and phone an ambulance, and you've got a good healthcare system. Then people are either dying in hospital or in care homes, senior homes, or in their own homes. And they're not actually keeling over and dying in the street. But in the more poor and less developed countries, that's what we're seeing. And interesting, yesterday had a another member of Connecting Consciousness, this time in South Africa, had two a week ago, and then a separate person yesterday contacted me to say that they'd also noticed. The second person said that they'd noticed that someone had just seemed to fall over on the way to the store. The first person a week ago from South Africa said it won't be long before we get the riots and the looting. And sure enough, the second person who I spoke to yesterday said that, that on the way back they saw we call it an off license, I think in America it's called a liquor store, being ransacked. There was an electrical store being ransacked, and basically the police were pulling out of the poorer areas. They felt they couldn't contain the riots now in the poor areas because of the lockdown. You have a volatile community and you stick a lid on top of that. This is what happens. So apparently in South Africa, the police have been pulled back to the cities like Durban, Cape Town, where the financial centre is, where the more wealthy people live, and they're just trying to hold that area. That could become very, very serious. But the underlying story here is the number of people who just appear to be just falling on the streets. This is in particular where there's either zero health care or the health care is very low. You may have picked up that President Trump has called into question the funding of the World Health Organization. He's asked a couple of his secretaries to have a look and see what can be done. The public reason is that the WHO, the World Health Organization, did not respond accurately when this disease was announced, and basically I think we all are aware that the World Health Organization was dragging its feet to call it a pandemic. It's important politically because it allows governments to release money, it allows governments to do certain things. That's the public reason behind President Trump's threat to remove the funding from the WHO. The real reason is the WHO's complicity within this whole situation. The WHO is incredibly closely connected to China. I have said several times that there are videos on YouTube of the leader of the World Health Organization meeting the Chinese leader, very friendly, very open. And I've also said that I believe the WHO have a more than just a passing interest in the biological weapons facility in Wuhan, and there is a connection there. And President Trump, I believe, is fully aware of that. And so he's now going to basically take away the funding, which means that China would, who already fund, interestingly enough, quite substantially, the WHO would then probably take over maybe 75 to 80% of the funding, which politically would put the WHO in a very difficult position and they would have to restructure. So that's an interesting move by President Trump. So that's one to follow. I posted a video which came from a British newspaper leaked to them of in America, because they can no longer in New York cope with the number of dead. Unfortunately, they are now digging great mass pits, trenches with earth movers, and they're just putting these coffins, they're very plain, just plain wooden coffins, just in too deep, and then just covering them over. There's no mourners, there's no churchmen, there's no family. If you look at the video, it's linked on my site. There are about seven or eight guys in the full protective suits, and then further back with the masks on are the cops. And this is an indicator that the number of dead now is greater than New York has had to cope with in such a short period of time. They can no longer cope with it, so they're now just digging great mass pits and burying them. That's not so surprising, because in Great Britain, 3 weeks ago or so, in London, they decided that if the same should happen here in London, they would dig up parts of the local recreational park, dig great big trenches, and literally just put the bodies in there. Historically, that's a precedent, because in 1665, when Britain had the plague, that's exactly what they did. And those of you who live in South London, who live close to Blackheath, well, and you've known your history, it's called Blackheath because of the Black Death, and that actually goes back even to the 14th century, even earlier, where people were just, there's so many, the system was overwhelmed, and they just literally dug pits and put people in there. And that's what we're beginning to see now in certain places. Italy, which is a Catholic country, very, very, very defensive about this, and they've been moving the bodies at night, and they're trying to get rid of them where the public can't see it, because if you're a strong Catholic, it's a very difficult situation. We did a meditation, as you know, connecting consciousness. I wanted to get the planet up to the fifth dimension, wanted to start to try and leave behind all the negativity. And I'm saying that it's perfectly okay if you're in your individual groups to do individual meditations. We've done the first one as an organization. Now, yes, please, if there are small groups of you who've already written to me and said, please, can we do a local one? That's absolutely fine. If you feel you've got the will and the numbers, you'll need five or six people, then do it. If you've got more, that's really great. But do your own meditation, as long as we are looking towards raising humanity out of this situation, raising the planet up. I'm quite happy with however you want to do that. We've seen, I'm just jumping from one subject to another, there's so much. We've seen the system now beginning to crack down on these videos regarding 5G. What's caused that predominantly? The number of masts or cell phone towers that have been set on fire or attacked. There are something like 14, the newspapers won't tell you the truth, there's only like 14 cell towers have been attacked, but only half of those were 5G, the rest were 4G. But what public are not understanding is that a lot of these, what we call repeater stations, it's the small 5G sticks that are on your street lights. You just literally go into the center of your town or city, and every so often there are these small things that are about 8, 9, 10 feet off the ground, and that's actually 5G. So they're not being attacked because people not seeing that. They're being drawn to the very large, obvious structures. And because of that, this is about money. Money's being damaged, money's been affected, and also the globalist, the cabalistic control behind 5G. So any video now that calls for attacks on 5G masts or facilities will be instantly taken down, and I think criminal prosecutions. I've been warned that Ofcom will be investigating any production, whether it's a, I don't know, YouTube or radio show or anything like that. And if anyone is basically advocating, taking down these masts, then they will begin a criminal investigation. So that's interesting how the system is now looking to defend itself. And we've always said that the system defends itself, and that's very interesting. In terms of the covert war that's been taking place behind all of this, it's not a smoke screen, it's a real thing, but in effect it's a smoke screen, this virus, and that it gives cover to both sides. The information I have is quite sketchy, but I've been told that the white hats have had a relatively good success in Italy. Italy had its more than its fair share of rather negative operations, and I understand that Italy was a focal point for a redistributing of situation, and that the certain people are quite happy with how it's gone in Italy. I understand in America that it's still ongoing. Excuse me, it's still ongoing, and they are happy with the first target they went through, and they went to it first because they couldn't afford that to go wrong. They're less precious about some of the latter targets, but the first one, they really wanted to hit it first, which has been reported by myself and others. Because if that had gone wrong, that would have been tragic. So it's like doing the first strike. You know the first strike's going to go in and be successful because the opposition are not ready for it. But after the first strike has gone in, they then are ready. So whenever you do your second or third, and the further you go down the line, the more the opposition are prepared. So we're seeing a patchy result. That's all I've been told. It's a patchy result coming in from the rest of the US. Still too early to tell on that one. I'm just jumping quickly now back to Britain. I can't speak for other countries at the moment, but we have a lot of members in CC who are nurses, care workers, doctors, dentists, paramedics, ambulance drivers. It's not surprising because Connecting Consciousness is a caring organization, care for humanity. We don't want to wipe humanity out like so many of these crazy people seem to want to do in the elite. And so we draw a great number of people from caring professions, and understandably, they can't publicly be involved because to be a member of Connecting Consciousness, I'm not saying it could make somebody lose their job, but it's a potential for that. So we have to, and I always have protected the identities of those members of Connecting Consciousness. But they write to me, and we're getting some very interesting information coming through, and that is that accident and emergency is now just basically a place where people with the virus are turning up. And this is really, really strange, because normally in Great Britain, the accident emergency is just usually full of people who've sprained an ankle, broken an arm, have this, have that. And suddenly, this is all drying up. Now, either people are not having accidents at home, they're not at work, so maybe they can't have an accident at work, and I'm sure there's a reduction, but I think people are staying at home. I think people are suffering in silence, because who in their right mind wants to go into the accident and emergency ward of a hospital if it's just full of people who've got the virus? So up and down England anyway, one person in Wales has reported that the accident emergency rooms are just full of people with the virus, and suddenly all of the what they call the normal patients, the classic, are just not turning up. And this is a good opportunity to for me personally, as the founder of Connecting Consciousness, to thank everybody who's in the caring profession, whether you're looking after old people in a senior old people's home, whether you're driving an ambulance, whether you're a nurse, doctor, whatever your role, to thank you for being brave. It's very difficult for you, because you are dealing with people who clearly have virus symptoms, and yet there's a lot of stuff on the internet saying that there is no virus, it's just something that starts up inside you or something or other, and it's, you know, ranging from that right through to it's all a complete fake and it doesn't exist. And it's very, very disheartening for not just Connecting Consciousness members who work in the medical profession, but people who are not members of my organization, to read and hear utter nonsense like that, and then be going out and physically working with people, and many of whom are dying, clearly of respiratory diseases which are virus related. So I personally want to thank everybody, whether you're a member of CC or not, if you are helping and coping, because you have got to go home. Some of you have got families, some of you live on your own, but I know a number of doctors have rented accommodation to be away from the family because they're so terrified of catching the virus and going home and giving it to their family that they've gone and rented separate accommodation. And these people do this job, they're terrified, they do it, they're very brave, they overcome their fear, and then they have to go back, and they're just counting the days waiting for them to get it. So for what it's worth, I personally and Connecting Consciousness want to thank everybody, whatever shape or form, who is in the caring profession. And you're not at home, because you're frightened to go to work, you're there and you're working, or you've got these symptoms and you're having to be at home, because you've caught it doing the job. So I want to make sure that at least publicly, within the way that we can, that I am thanking you on behalf of all the members of Connecting Consciousness, some of whom are in hospital with this virus. The lockdown, people are asking, when will that lift? It's going to be reviewed on Monday. That's Easter Monday, and I can be absolutely sure that it will be continued. There's no way they're going to release it at the moment, because Britain has not hit the peak. We're just under 1,000 deaths a day, just under. Tragically, today, Thursday, it might hit 1,000. Certainly, it's going to have to do that before this peak, looking at our population, the number of people we have when the lockdown was brought in, how people were disobeying the instructions in the early days, naturally. But once that figure drops down, then I think we can hope to see the lockdown being withdrawn by the end of May. I think by the end of May, we should be able to see something quite positive on that. We've got several situations internationally where countries now are falling out over who's going to pay for all of this, and the European Union cannot work anymore. I think it's Italy. The Prime Minister of Italy has come out and said that basically European Union's broke. Because I don't mean broke financially, I mean broke politically with a will. Because countries like Germany and the Netherlands are saying, why should we pay for Spain and Italy? And Italy and Spain, who are, of course, part of the European Union, as are the others, are saying, well, but we're all a club, we're all a family, we're all a team. You need to pay for us. You know, this is what being in the European Union is all about. Can't come to Britain now because we left the European Union. I know we're in a transitional stage, but no one's going to come to Britain and say, please, can we have a billion euros to bail out Spain? Because we've left the European Union. So this decreasing pot of money, you know, Britain's not going to be contributing in the future, this decreasing pot of money is going to have to be increased by taxation within the European Union. So if you are a member of the European Union, you will expect to pay a great deal more tax in the year to come, because it's the only way that, you know, one country can be bailed out by another country. And Germany, of course, is the powerhouse of Europe financially, so everyone's going to Germany. Now Angela Merkel's probably very happy to give all the wealth away. I mean, they let in over 1 million refugee migrant workers. They weren't all families with young children, they were mostly young men between the ages of 20 and 35. I know that because we've had so many German members of CC who have, you know, told me, and I've seen photographs. So Angela Merkel probably, if she was up to herself, she'd probably give quite a lot of money away to Italy and Spain, who have been very badly hit by the virus. But I don't think the political system now, she doesn't control it in the same way that she did a year ago. And so I think there'll be a great resistance, and I think that's what we're seeing from the lawmakers, the politicians within Germany, who have probably got an eye on the election coming up and know that if they have to raise taxation because they're bailing out funding other countries, they're not going to be re-elected. So we're seeing a hardening of a position in the Netherlands and in Germany, and we're seeing quite a desperate financial situation in Italy and Spain. And so this argument publicly about what is the European Union about, that is going to dominate in the political side. And you know, those of us in Great Britain who voted to leave the European Union, we won't say I told you so. We won't have any fun or glee, because this isn't the time to be like that. But it is a time to say that, you know, this is an example of how the European Union doesn't work fairly. So if you're a small country with a small political influence, they just walk on you. But if you're France or Germany, then you just call the shots and you run the show. And I think there are a number of European countries that are now going to experience the real power behind the European Union, which is France and Germany. Okay. I think the other thing is that testing for the virus, there was supposed to be this great testing going on, and a number of testing kits have been found to be failing, not very good, and this has caused a great deal of political anger. Now, in our own country, the Prime Minister, who is getting a lot better, and I expect him to be out of intensive care in the next 2 days, that isn't in the major news, but that's what I've been told privately. Expect the Prime Minister of Great Britain to be out of intensive care within the next 2 days. He has received some medication that is not available in Great Britain, but is available in America and has been provided by the United States to him, and I expect that to have quite a good effect. And I'm convinced there'll be an announcement in the next 2 days. He'll be out of intensive care. There's been some comment, which I disagree with, that saying that Boris Johnson is perfectly okay and is hiding in hospital because he's basically turning down the Chinese from operating in the 5G network. That's not accurate. He had allowed them to be involved, Hawaii, as they say. That's not really Hawaii, but that's the American joke about them. They don't pronounce it correctly. Perhaps I shouldn't say that, but that's how the military refer to it. The difficulty is that this Chinese private company, which is actually an arm of the Chinese government. Let's be absolutely clear about this. It doesn't matter how many times they turn around and say, we're separate. No, you're not. You're part of the Communist Party of China's direction. And they built or had a large part in Britain's 4G network. People don't know that. And the 3G network. So this company, China's had a running role from the 3G, the 4G, and now the 5G. And right up to Boris Johnson going into hospital, that was going to stay the same. It was basically going to be that the Chinese were going to run the show, and that was it. And then somebody told the British Prime Minister how the 5G people behind it were somehow connected to a biological weapons facility in Wuhan, and that if that Wuhan facility had never been built, there would never have been a virus. Now, bear in mind that the Prime Minister does indeed have this virus. So there he is in intensive care with a virus, and somebody tells him that the Chinese had a weapons, a biological facility, which the virus got out of, and the very virus you have, Mr. Prime Minister, has come from there. And it was that news with evidence that he was given to back it up, which came from the United States, which then made him speak to his foreign secretary. I'm sure that's okay to say. And then it was decided that China would no longer have a role in the 5G. Now, publicly, they can't say that because they're not admitting at this stage, although, as I've told you, that there's a trillion dollar, $5 trillion. Some people say it's 20 trillion, between 5 and 20 trillion lawsuit now that the United States is taking against China because it's in contravention of the 1925 League of Nations bill that said you cannot have a biological weapons facility, and China did. And so basically, he can't go out and say that at the moment because that's got a fight in court that prejudiced the court case, but he is going to say that China was disingenuous, very good British word. China is disingenuous with the facts and figures around the virus, and if China had been more open, then countries like Great Britain could have understood what the threat was and prepared more. So that's the public statement. The real statement is that he now is convinced that there was a biological weapons facility in Wuhan, and that's where this virus got out from. That is why he's not hiding in hospital, because he's frightened that the employees of this facility will try and kill him. He's in hospital because he's not very well, and that's what's occurred now with the Americans, who came over at 3 o'clock in the morning at Heathrow Airport, were taken straight, had a talk to Boris's doctors, showed them the samples they had brought for medication. The doctors agreed, and then during this time, because Boris was and he is able to communicate, he was it's a good opportunity for American intelligence and the State Department to be able to talk to him without any handlers around him. And I think a lot of business got done then quite clearly. So that's where we are with this. It's a very fast-moving, ongoing situation. It's very important that both Great Britain and the United States have leaders who get on, understand things, can make things work, and that was really important. So that's the end of my updates. We don't really have anything else at the moment to, I think, discuss. Get more information in, then I will certainly bring it to you. So at the moment, then, to sum up, the covert operations are still taking place. Italy seem to have been quite successfully dealt with. That's interesting because that's where the Vatican is, and it'll be very interesting to see what the situation is there. America is a mixed bag. some successes, some are not so good. Had no reports from Europe. I know there have been operations in Europe and in Britain, but I haven't unfortunately got any details at the moment, but hopefully we will get that. So thank you very much indeed. For all of those of you who are at home and avidly looking at internet and reading up and researching, please just bear in mind that there are a lot of ideas knocking around at the moment. Some of them seem to make sense, some of them don't make sense. And you must ask your higher selves what you think is truth and what you think is fabrication. So ask yourselves whether you see or hear or read something, whether that comes across to you as something that, yeah, that sounds true to me, or whether it's not right. And this is the best way that you can be of a judgmental, and you have to be judgmental with information like this, because only you can judge it. Had a interesting situation where somebody, started a big debate on MeWe Pro regarding, what's true and what's not true. And my argument has always been the same, that we have a line, which is the information I've given. If I believe that information is correct, I will put it forward. But it is up to everybody to look at that information and see it. And the only thing that's causing any upset at the moment are those people who are saying that there's no virus, no virus at all, that it's all just make believe or it's a hologram. And this is really, really causing issues with doctors and nurses. I can only talk about Great Britain because that's the number of people who've written to me who are in hospital and dealing minute after minute with patients who are exhibiting viral symptoms. And they are getting incredibly angry is the right word, where they are reading posts or reading articles which are saying there's no virus, it's not true. Now, what I am saying to people is, if you're posting, please be mindful of that, and I did do this on MeWe Pro, that your articles may be read by doctors and nurses who are not sitting in an armchair, they're not retired, or they're not sitting, they are going out every day, putting their uniforms on, going out and dealing with people. The best thing that you can do, if you really think there's no virus, is try and speak to them. Ask them. But don't say, is there no virus? Because there's a lot of anger now. I've had to diffuse quite a lot of anger amongst ambulance drivers, paramedics, doctors and nurses in Great Britain who are a member of Connecting Consciousness, who are frankly sick to the back teeth of hearing from people there is no such thing. Because as one person said to me, so what am I doing? I'm driving an ambulance, which is what that person does for a living. I'm driving an ambulance and just going to thin air, am I? So I'm just going and doing nothing, am I? So there's nothing in the back of my ambulance. There isn't a dying person. There isn't a person gasping for breath. There isn't, they're really, really, really upset. And so if you're not a medical professional, and you are at home at the moment, and you are spending hours and hours trawling through websites, please be mindful that when you post things, some of the people reading this are in fact a professional medical people dealing with the situation day in, day out. I have had harrowing personal stories given to me where, and I cannot name the person, well, I can, but I'm not going to, because I don't want them to lose their job. And I won't name the hospital. All I can tell you is it's in Great Britain. There was one ward, so many, this isn't coming out in the news, you see, they're hiding all this. There were so many nurses off with the virus, and many of them in the hospital as patients themselves. There was one ward with 12 patients, all with coronavirus. There was only one nurse, it is totally illegal, breaks every law, but that's the situation now. One nurse ca covering 12 patients. No doctors, no nothing, just this one person to manage. What fortitude, what strength must that person have to do that? And I'm getting cases of nurses telling me that they do 12-hour shifts and then they can't go home because the nurses who should come to replace them have all gone down with the virus. They are working with patients. They don't have the proper protective overalls. They're catching the virus. They are now in hospital. And so these nurses have told me that they then have to go and do another 12 hours. Can you imagine 24 hours non-stop looking after people who've got virus? Now, that's why these people are heroes. We talk about, quite rightly, the veterans of armed services who are heroes. Of course they are, for serving their country. But, let's do more than just clap these nurses and these doctors. These people are actually working in conditions that most of my membership would refuse to work in. We wouldn't go into a hospital. That's why the accident and emergencies are nearly empty, because people who've got a sprained ankle would much rather stay at home for a few days and suffer the pain than go in and catch the virus. So I am passionate about this because this is my membership. These are people on the front line and who have personally written to me expressing what they feel, what they're doing. And the very least I can do is share that information with you, and that's what I've done. So, once again to them, thank you. And if you know a doctor or you know a nurse in your street, why don't you just say thank you to them? Don't leave it to some celebrity on the television doing something. Just a personal thank you. Where I live, it was wonderful to see kids with pieces of chalk writing on the walls on properties saying thank you, nurses, thank you, doctors, thank you, essential workers. So the children have got it, the kids understand it, but let's just see if the rest of us do. So listen, thank you very much. And if I get any more information, look on the website, because that's the first place I go to put the short updates on. Thank you. Take care. Bye bye.